it just kind of gets us both. Alright, well, I'm gonna try this. I think we are, it says we're alive. So. Hi, everyone. Somebody give me
you're live, I can see.
I am live, you can see. Okay, good.
Yeah.
We are coming to you from an undisclosed location in Winnipeg. And really looking forward to being, like, doing this talky bit this morning, which is an interview bit. And thanks, Tim and Jane, for doing the music this morning. It was sad not to see Atticus and Rosie, but Rosie, not Rosa. Rosa.
Rosa.
Rosa, not Rosie. But, you know, we can live with it. We are going to get going this morning with... Oh, and by the way, Tim, yes, I am audio recording it, so all good. We're going to get going with our usual breathing meditation exercise. Misty, you were going to do it this morning.
Yes. So I wanted to do a little bit, something a little bit different. And as Tim will always say, this is an invitation. You're not comfortable doing this, then feel free to just watch, or I wouldn't say go get coffee because I don't think it'll take quite that long. But so one of the things I've learned on my journey of recovery from trauma and things like that is the importance or effect of bilateral tapping. So bilateral tapping literally just means tapping like this, or you can tap your feet. But what I'm going to do this time is I'm going to do what's called the butterfly hug. So you just cross your hands like this and go like this. So this is a great thing to do. I find it very calming because it's like a hug. But it's also good to know the options if you want to do it some other time, like in public where you may not want to do this. So what we're going to do is we're going to take, say, 10 deep breaths. I'm not going to count them. But while you're breathing, you can do this. And I like to think of a place that is calming and peaceful for me. So we're going to start. That was 10 for me.
I lost track.
Hopefully you feel calm and centered.
I do, actually.
Yeah.
But I usually do it with you, so. Can you feel the love tonight? Okay, we're off.
We're off.
We're talking about body positivity today. Mm-hmm. And since we became friends, I found out that this is something that's important to you, and you've
mm-hmm.
kind of spent some time investigating it, looking into it, and taking it on as a person.
Yeah.
Can we start a little bit with your personal connection to it, as much as you feel free to share?
Yeah, for sure. I always say about 3 years ago, so it might be five by now. I went through a journey of recovering through counseling and that kind of thing. And as part of that, I started to deconstruct faith, particularly the disconnect between flesh and brain. So when you think about it, that bilateral tapping is really connecting your brain to your body. And so as I learned to trust my brain as a part of my body to recover what I was feeling, I started realizing that a lot of the things that I considered sin were actually just my body trying to help my brain. So as I came out of that, I had been like going to the gym, trying to lose weight, you know, hired personal trainers, that kind of thing. And I started realizing that no matter how well I was doing in the gym, you know, I could lift hundreds of pounds, I could, you know, I was really improving there. It was always, you know, I always felt like I wasn't succeeding, and, you know, the trainers were reinforcing that because I wasn't, the number on the scale wasn't changing. And I also got to the point where I realized my obsession with food was detrimental to my mental health.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things I know now, like chemically, for instance, if you take all your carbs out of your diet, you're setting yourself up for anxiety because your body needs glucose to process trauma.
Okay.
So things like that, and I was like, this is just not working for me. So I need to find another way to have a healthy relationship with food. And I'd heard about intuitive eating. So that's where I started exploring listening to my body about food. The idea with intuitive eating is that if you listen to your body will give you what it needs. And that by restricting foods and saying certain foods are bad and moralizing foods, you're causing yourself more and more distress. And that actually, and that shame actually causes weight gain. But once you get into that realm, you start getting into the body positive and fat positive movement as well. And you start learning like, hey, wait a second, like, society judges me because of my size, and that's not fair.
Yeah.
So I really started getting into that as well, and I have to say I'm healthier than I ever have been, both mentally and physically, since I stopped restricting and you know, getting into diet culture.
There's one thing that I'm not sure I understood when you said it was the idea of that when you, what you thought of as sin was your, was often your brain trying to help your body, or your body trying to help your
yeah.
brain.
What, yeah.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah.
Because I think that would clarify it for me.
Well, I had a therapist tell me one time, carbs saved your life.
Mm.
Like, your body was asking for carbs to help you deal with what you were going through.
Okay.
So, they will say that people who have gone through trauma will end up either eating a lot, drinking, or having some sort of sexual addiction. Like, one of those three things, that's what your body's going to do. So, it was, you know, your body gives you carbs to protect your brain from, so it gets the glucose that it needs to protect you from trauma. It's, which is kind of the opposite of what I learned in Christian circles, which is, you're turning to food instead of God.
Ah.
Right?
Okay, yes.
So it's like, oh, well, don't turn to food. And now it's literally like, darn, I'm really anxious. I actually need spaghetti. Like, right? I need starchy carbs.
Right.
Right? Because I'm trying, my body's trying to process something. And even my,
right.
we call it straight size or thin therapist,
mm-hmm.
who is a trauma therapist, he's like, oh, if I go and do like a major incident counseling or whatever, he's like, I will eat a whole pizza.
Oh, wow.
He's like, because my body's asking for it.
I'm yeah.
like, oh, that's cool.
I imagine there's a lot of ways that we approach food that are actually not serving our bodies well, because I even think of, for a while, low fat was such a huge
mm-hmm.
thing. And the brain is actually majority fat.
Yeah.
So if you are not giving your body and your brain the very good things it needs, it's actually not going to be functioning well.
Well, and you're always like, okay, you go low fat, and then you're having tons of carbs and sugar, right?
Yeah.
That was what was happening in the 90s, I guess.
Yeah.
And then, oh, no, carbs are bad, fat's good. So then you're robbing your body of the things it needs to produce serotonin.
Yeah.
You know, and also setting yourself up for a lifetime of having to live a low-carb diet.
Yeah.
You know, they do work if you can stick it out, but
oh, yeah.
There's no such thing as maintenance on keto.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah. Just eat differently the rest of your life and feel like you're suffering for it.
Yeah.
Not fun.
And I'm not willing to do that. I just got to a certain age where it's like, you know, my overall well-being.
Well, and that important. And the overall idea of how we think about, well, what does a healthy person look like? I remember mm-hmm. being in a swimming pool and seeing somebody, I think I must have been there with one of my kids, because we were waiting for a aquasize class.
Mm-hmm.
The aquasize instructor, of course, is always on the edge. She's not even in the water. And the way this woman was moving was just like jaw-dropping in how energetic she had to be. And she was one of those people that you probably would have used the word overweight, if you use that language, to describe. But she was obviously very fit. And I think we judge people according to what they look like rather than actually what they live like. And really, should we even judge them for what they live like? Because it's probably their business and not ours.
Well, and that's the other thing. You know, people, my disabled friends will point out to me that the statement that my blood sugar is low and my not low but healthy,
right,
my cholesterol is low and my blood pressure is low, lower than it's ever been, is important to note, because to say that you know, my other numbers are good is ableist. Some people don't even have that available to them. Or when
right.
I look at, you know, yes, I walk a little differently than you, or meaning slower. Actually, I'm assuming you would walk faster than me. That may not be true, but you know, I walk a little differently and I walk a little slower. Well, so what?
Yeah.
You know, that's the way I've never started. Even I have lost tons of weight. I just don't walk faster. I walk at pace turtle.
Yeah.
And somebody who's really informed about movement said, oh, in later life, that'll be really good for you, because people who walk fast lean too much forward and they're more likely to fall. And I'm like, ha, walking slow is my superpower.
When you think about the body positivity, fat phobia, like whatever way we want to consume, what are kind of the key principles that enter into this?
So the body positivity movement, you know, it's been somewhat co-opted by white cisgendered women, but really it was started by Black women.
Okay.
Who were being judged for their natural body size, and looking at that positively. So there is no such thing as an acceptable weight. There is no such thing as an unacceptable way to live or dress or that kind of thing. You know, there's a photographer in Winnipeg, Terry Hofford, who you may have seen, there was this billboard at Pembina, just past the Jubilee Bridge there, with all kinds of different shaped women with the sun's out, tums out label there. And it's like, well, why can't I be more comfortable in the summer? And it doesn't mean you have to. Like, that's
right,
the other thing, right? Like, if you're not comfortable showing your belly, then don't. But
mm-hmm.
I got to the point where it was like, you know, it's hot in the summer here. I'm going to wear sleeveless shirts and be comfortable.
Yeah.
Right? I don't care what you what you say.
Yeah.
So that's been a huge journey. And so, yeah, judging, like, the big thing, too, is all bodies are good bodies.
Right.
So that's, there's a huge intersection with that and, you know, disabled people and that kind of thing. That there's no one standard for how we need to look. So that would be the big thing about body positivity itself.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, you know, a lot of pushback, you know, from the medical community, which will say, oh, well, you know, just being overweight is statistically not good. So there's a huge difference between correlation and causation.
Okay.
And so, you know, when you say being a certain BMI, which don't get me started on BMI, makes you, you know, more at risk for things, there's not a lot of instances where they prove causation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's important. The other part that is important is even if there was causation, the prescription to eat less and move more doesn't work in a huge number, anywhere between 80 to 95% of cases long term.
Yeah.
So what kind of prescription is that?
Yeah.
Like that would never pass the FDA or whatever the Canadian one is, right? It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that too.
Yeah. Yeah. What works is a pretty important aspect to this. And I've seen that stats too. And I actually saw 95% as the stat of people who will eventually regain the weight that they've lost.
Yeah.
So it's not much. And plus there are actual things we can do to improve our health that maybe don't involve weight. As you pointed out, like, we can eat differently. We can eat more fruits and vegetables. We can do that. And we can move more. But none of these things necessarily result in weight loss, but yet they improve our health.
Yeah.
And something else I was thinking of as you were talking about just the mental health, and I'm thinking in terms of my work with people with FASD, is that they have found that women who drink during pregnancy pretty much always have suffered some kind of trauma, mental health that is untreated, things like that. So I think whether we're turning to alcohol, food, things, there can be a tendency to judge the behavior rather than looking at the person and what's behind that as a coping mechanism.
Yeah. There was a, Oprah did a special on trauma a few years ago, and not that I should be quoting Oprah for in the body positive realm, but anyway, she did say the question shouldn't be what's wrong with you, it should be what happened to you.
Mm, yeah.
And that has stuck with me.
So we are part of a faith gathering here.
Mm-hmm.
Do these ideas impact your faith in some way?
Yeah. I don't claim to have figured out exactly where I am with faith. There was a time I thought I wouldn't go back to church and that kind of thing. But feeling connected with my body has had a very spiritual component to it.
Mm.
And so feeling the power that I believe God puts in our body to help us function is a huge shift from the sins of the flesh idea.
Yeah.
So I do think that being able to get rid of that idea that I should be disconnected from my body and my body was evil has been a huge, huge help in reestablishing faith. And I would like to I would like to think that if assuming I believe in God, and I do, that God would be really happy with what we've co-created together.
Mm.
And that, you know, I don't know if God would actually say, go, you go, girl, but that's kind of what it feels like, right?
Yeah.
And fighting, and also it's about fighting injustice. It's about speaking out when people are mistreated because of their size and, you know, and kind of helping to pave the way for others to not be treated that way is super important to me. And, you know, it's about sharing my journey and saying, you know what, this works for me. This makes the most sense to me. And I feel like this is a way I can live the rest of my life. Whereas every other time I tried to make peace with my body by changing it, it never felt permanent.
Yeah.
It never felt like something I could live with. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, like the idea of co-agency with God that we create together is super important to me.
Yeah.
And I think that that, definitely helps. And also, having been exposed to the body positivity movement, has also opened me up to a lot of other, social justice areas, particularly racism,
mm-hmm.
Because, fat phobia has its roots in racism. And so to just be more open to other people's struggles when I acknowledge my own marginalization mm-hmm. has been huge. And I think that's hugely important to God, that I hear people and I'm more compassionate because I've like gotten rid of all the noise
mm-hmm.
And just focus on, I mean, this sounds woo-woo, but love. Right? It's mm-hmm. about love, loving other people.
Yeah.
And caring for other people in a way that is compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, I heard of a concept. It's kind of related to cognitive behavioral therapy, but the idea of those messages that you're telling yourself as you make a mistake, as you don't have a body that the rest of the world says is okay, whatever. Those messages that you're telling yourself of, I'm so fat, I'm so stupid, why did I do that? Would you ever say those things to somebody who you loved, who was a friend?
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, we talk to ourselves so much more harshly than we treat anybody else. And hearing that has made me want to do differently
mm-hmm.
and actually have those messages of compassion for self, graciousness for self. And I find that that has really has also connected to me spiritually, because when I am doing that, I can kind of get the idea, okay, God is a God of graciousness. So does God look at me like this too? Does he look at me and go, that's okay. I love you just the way you are. Yeah, you don't actually have to change. That was pretty much the point of what Jesus came to do, was to say, you're enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bridge the gap of where things are hard. You don't have to strive. And it's incredibly freeing, and it kind of has that upward spiral effect.
Yeah.
For me. And I'm not sure if you've ever heard of the upward spiral, because we all know about downward spiral, like something happens and we get negative about that and something worse happens, and so
yeah.
We just go down and down. The upward spiral is the opposite. We're when we are actually moving positively in our self-concept, in our God concept, we that gives us the energy and motivation to then keep building on that and slowly
mm-hmm.
go in an upward way in how we are progressing emotionally, spiritually.
Yeah. For sure.
I am going to check the time because I want to be around. Yeah, we've been around 26 minutes today,
cool.
Which would be about average for a talky bet. So we're going to call it to a close now. We would love to hear your feedback, questions, comments, how did today hit you in the comment section, or if you want to email one of us separately, we're both on Facebook, so we got Messenger. Really good to be with you this morning, and we will see you hopefully soon. I'm pressing this button and nothing's happening. There we go. Okay, finished. There we go.
I think it says we're alive.
Okay, that's just repainting us. We're going to save that.
Somebody give me